The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Once upon a time, there was a radio show called The Eric Metaxas Show.
It had an announcer named Todd, who was the handsomest announcer in the land. Eric was bitterly jealous of Todd's good looks.
But there was nothing he could do.
He just had to accept that cruel fate had made him as ugly as a toad.
And now your host, warts and all, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, thanks. Folks, this is hour two. You can tell it's hour two because it comes right after hour one. Albin, we're talking to John Zmirak.
Yes.
After this segment, for most of this hour, we're going to be speaking with Jay and Sophia Lyons.
That's right.
Who have created a beautiful documentary about a woman who bravely chose to live in spite of the fact that she knew she was dying, but she wanted to document her faith and her bravery in the midst of death. Contrasted with the story of somebody who chose to take her life because she had a diagnosis of a terminal illness. It's an amazing story, yeah. And Jane Sophia Lyons coming up in a couple of minutes. But before that, I want to go back to John Zmirak. And before we go to John Zmirak, let me remind you folks, we're doing a campaign with Food for the Poor. There is a huge crisis in Central America. Most of you know part of it just because as you hear about the immigration story, people trying to get into this country. Why? Because there's no food and there's a lot of suffering all throughout Central America. And so one thing that we can do is we can help them where they are through Food for the Poor. I want to recommend, please go to MetaxasTalk.com. We'll have all kinds of information there. I don't want to give you the details right now. At the end of the hour, I will give you all the details on that. It's a wonderful opportunity. We need to do these things when we can. John Zmirak, welcome back. I know we've just got you for
Thanks,
a few Eric. Minutes, but it's I think it's important
Eric,
for us to talk about this stuff.
I want people to think back on one historical incident. The fire in the Reichstag in 1933 in Germany. When Hitler had come to power, but he didn't have absolute power, he was still abiding by the German constitution, and there were still opposition parties in parliament, and there were still opposition ministers in the cabinet, and the German officers thought, well, we got this guy under control, and at least he's keeping the real danger of the communists at bay. Suddenly, the equivalent of the U.S. Capitol caught on fire, and it was horrible, it was shocking. And the regime used it as a pretext to tear up the German constitution, close down opposition parties, reel in what freedom was left, and all of a sudden you were in an authoritarian state. Hitler completely tore up the constitution he had just sworn to defend and uphold a few months before. But when that happened, people weren't afraid of the Nazis. They thought the Nazis were protecting them against the real danger. That's how Satan works.
Okay. Go ahead.
People are being told that the danger is that millions of Americans have hunting rifles. That's not the danger. But that's the danger they're being told to worry about. We've got to grab everybody's guns. We've got to make America like Belgium. We have to protect ourselves against this evil that's abroad. But again, the evil that's in your face that the media and the elites are pushing usually isn't the one that's really the threat. It wasn't in Germany after the Reichstag fire. It wasn't the communists who were the real danger. And here, the real danger is not millions of Americans who have hunting rifles. That's a myth. That's a lie. That's what's being propagated to take away our freedom and prepare us for a much greater evil.
It's funny.
Happened before.
It's funny, John, because, obviously, you know, I've written a book on Bonhoeffer and I've thought about this long and hard. And people who have questioned my support of the current administration are flummoxed because they think, don't you see? And I would say precisely what you're saying is that if my party, the conservatives, the Republicans, were ever to do anything along these lines, which is to try to take advantage of a crisis to take away our freedoms, I hope I would be the first to speak up. But it is my considered thinking that it would not be the conservatives or the Republicans, because they know that those in their party, folks like me and you, would scream and denounce them. But people in the other party who have a different set of values think less of freedom, I would say, and they have a different definition, a different view. They're operating along a different axis. And it strikes me that they would only too happily use something like this, just as you're describing. And we can have many worse things happen in the future, God forbid, where they will use it as a Reichstag opportunity and say, listen, things are so bad. We've got to do something. We've got to do something. And when people say we've got to do something, my question is why? It's like with the Arab Spring, you know, like we've got this terrible dictator that we've got to do something. Well, you can get something worse than what you have if you got to do something. If you do nothing,
right,
you know, you've got the devil, you know, you can have a far worse devil. And I think that people who are talking about, let's say, taking away hunting rifles and denouncing white nationalism and that kind of thing, if you think that's going to solve the problem, you know, every evangelical, every Christian I know is against white supremacy and white nationalism. So this is a pretext, really, to demonize people of faith. It often becomes a pretext to demonize people of faith, to demonize freedom-loving conservatives. So I really worry, as you do, about the other side grasping at these tragedies, just as Hitler did. I mean, and it was a delightful moment for the Nazis because they said, listen, the Reichstag is literally burning down. We can just suspend the Constitution. We can do as we like, and all of Germany will applaud because they see that the very symbol of our quote-unquote democracy is in flames, has burned down. We've got to step up. We've got to do that. And I think that it's the ultimate example from history because we've lived through the Holocaust, because we've lived through the burning of the Reichstag. And we can look back and say, hey, we're not naive. We know how that goes. We know what can happen.
Exactly. And someone who tells you that if you just give up your freedom, you'll get safety. You'll get neither freedom nor safety. The biggest mass murderer in the history of the world is the modern state. 179 million civilians murdered by their own governments in 100 years. And in every single case, that citizenry had been disarmed. We cannot follow that road in America. If we lose freedom in America, there will be no go-to place. There will be no role model of freedom anywhere on the earth. So we are carrying a precious legacy. We are carrying the Olympic torch. And there are snipers trying to take us out.
That's right. I think, you know, and to those people listening who aren't ready to agree with us on these gun issues, I would simply say to them, look, maybe we can agree on this. Now is a time to pray. Now is a time to repent. Now is a time to do good, to do spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare means do radical good. Love your enemies. Pray for all of those, just as you said earlier, involved in these killings, including people today. As we are talking on the air, there are people today, disaffected, deeply messed up people, contemplating doing things like this tomorrow and next week. Pray against that spirit of murder, that spirit of Antichrist. This is a spiritual battle. And folks, you know, many people out there claim to believe in God. If you believe in God, pray. Pray to that God and ask him to have mercy on this nation. I pray for an outpouring of faith and repentance. If there were revival in America, all of these shootings would go away. I can say that bluntly. If there were revival in America, it would be a different place. Young people would find hope. Young people who want to kill themselves and kill other people, they don't understand the meaning of life, they would find hope and a reason to live. That ultimately is the hole at the center of our culture. We have forgotten God. I really do think that even if you disagree with me on everything else, could it be wrong to pray and to try to put meaning in people's lives and to give them hope?
I agree, Eric. And this ultimately, the greatest power is spiritual power. That is the software that controls the hardware. That is the ultimate programming. That's the code underlying it all. And remember that whenever there's a frenzy And whenever all the approved voices in television are telling you one thing,
right,
that still small voice in your head should lead you to be skeptical. Why are the principalities and powers all lining up in one direction? What do they have in mind?
There's no question about it, John. Absolutely no question about it. We're just grateful for you interrupting your schedule today with the Beagles and everything else to join us here. We'll catch you later this week. I want to talk to you about the Marianne Williamson article you wrote and a number of important things to talk about. Folks, you're listening to the Eric Metaxas Show. We have 2 hours a day. You can find us on YouTube at the Eric Metaxas Show. You can find us at MetaxasTalk.com. And you can find us, of course, right here.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit.
Hey there, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. You can tell because who else plays BJ Thomas for the bumper music, right? We have an important story to tell. Some of you remember a while ago, Kara Tippetts, the name Kara Tippetts. She was dying of breast cancer, and she chose, because of her Christian faith, to, in a way, yield to what she saw as God's hand. She knew that she was dying, and it's really an emotional story. It's a courageous story. I have in the studio the two people who made a film about this, Jay and Sophia Lyons. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Well, this is an important story, and we met at NRB. We talked a little bit about this, but this is now, the movie is on Netflix. The title is The Long Goodbye, the Kara Tippetts story. So for people listening in right now who know nothing about the story, give us the basic outline of the story and how you got involved in it.
Well, Kara Tippetts was a mommy blogger. So just, she's a pastor's wife, mother of four small children living in Colorado, and just writing her mommy blog, you know, going along, doing well, started to gain a following, just, you know, typical. And I'm actually a TV producer, and that's my job. Full-time, I do reality shows. I'm based in L.A., but, you know, that's, it's fun.
Right.
So I saw a post on Facebook that my high school friend made that said, pray for my pastor's wife. She has cancer. And in my mind, it sort of just clicked, because I had always wanted to do a television show based around end-of-life issues. So, but I didn't really have a Christian show in mind. It was just like, let's just do this documentary. Maybe I'll pitch it to one of the networks I work for. I work for all the major networks.
So you weren't looking at it for a faith-based angle. You're just talking. I mean, look, let's face it. In America today, around the world, people are facing this question. So, okay, so you already had that in the back of your mind,
right,
and then you saw this.
Exactly. I saw it and I thought, as a Christian, if we were to tell this story from a Christian perspective, it could help people who are struggling with end-of-life issues. And a lot of people are going through cancer. And that's kind of what I want to do with the storytelling, is to offer hope. So, but actually, Eric, I put it out of my mind, and because I was on another show. And when you're on a show, they kind of own you. You know, you're just, especially like a hit show on a network, you're just all day, every day. And then I saw another post about 3 months later that said, from my same friend on Facebook, pray for my pastor's wife. She has breast cancer. It's stage 4. And so in my mind, I thought, which means, you know, that's bad. And in my mind, I thought, okay, well, there goes that situation. I'm not going to do that anymore, because that would be maybe tacky or inappropriate for me to contact a woman who is in the last stages of life. But I couldn't stop thinking about her and my lovely wife.
Hello.
Oh, hello. You're the lovely wife.
She said, this is God talking to you, telling you to do this story. You should call her. And I was like, no, that's weird. I'm not doing that. That's weird. She'll think I'm some LA TV producer. She won't like that. And then I just kind of went about
LA TV producer. That's basically the lowest form of life there is. And then you find out reality show. Oh, there's an even lower form. So there's no way you should do this. But somehow, Sophia, what were you thinking?
I just said, obviously, this is meant to be. We have our own production company. We really want to do impactful projects that are meaningful and positive. And here's a lady that wants to share with us. Why not? So I made him call her.
And so where did she live?
Colorado Springs.
Okay. So you did contact her.
I did.
And obviously, she was open to working with you. Otherwise, this film would not exist.
But, you know, it didn't start out as a movie. Really, honestly, I was going to make just a sizzle reel, which you know is just like a, you know, a pitch to maybe say, hey, these types of stories, people would be interested in this, especially from a faith Christian perspective. So I went there with my lovely wife, and we were like, okay, Kara was just so generous. She was like, come on out, that'd be great. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And so we went, and the intent was just to make a small piece, which we did. Mm-hmm. It was 3 minutes, and then Kara published the trailer on her blog, which was growing due to a lot of reasons, but her blog was growing because she was suffering through cancer and dying. She published this trailer, and it blew up. It got hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube, and the Washington Post covered it. And then and also my wife said, this is not a sizzle reel. You need to make this into a documentary. And, you know, I was just kind of like, what? Okay.
And even at that point, we were thinking personal, like be a blessing to her children, to mm-hmm. have a time capsule piece right. to remember her mom and remember this moment in time of her saying goodbye. And well, so it was really a double. It was, something I want to do professionally but personally.
I want to put this in context. At the time that this was going on with Kara Tippett's her end of life story, there was someone else whose name I forget who chose suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Who,
Brittany Maynard.
Okay, Brittany Maynard. So mm-hmm. this was going on around the same time. So it formed like a dramatic framing
exactly.
for this story. So tell us about Brittany Maynard, because she was in the news as well.
Yeah, Brittany Maynard basically had a brain tumor and decided that the way the doctors described to her how she would die, that she didn't want to do that. So she moved from California, I think it was up to Oregon, mm-hmm. where it's legal to end your life. And so Kara Tippett decided to write her a letter and mm-hmm. just kind of plead with her, like, hey, we're in the same boat. We're both young women. Mm-hmm. Kara was 38. I think Brittany wasn't even 30. And you can be surrounded by your friends and family, and this can be a beautiful time. What if you survive? What if the doctors are wrong? There's mm-hmm. so many what ifs. But it wasn't a judgy kind of letter to her. It was more like, we're in the same situation. Will you listen to my side? Because all she was hearing was, take the pill, you're our new champion, and it became politicized. Mm-hmm. And I think Kara was just reaching out to her personally, and she prayed for her. I mean, it was really all that. But I think once it got into the media, they made it more than it was. So,
Do you talk about Brittany Maynard in this documentary?
We do.
You do, okay.
Yes.
So it's titled The Long mm-hmm. Goodbye, and I know you have Ann Voskamp and Johnny Erickson Tada in there.
Also Joanna Gaines.
As well, Joanna Gaines. Mm-hmm. These are suddenly hot button issues because for the first time in America, and this has been going on in the West, in Europe, people seem to have taken away the taboo over suicide. I mean, mm-hmm. there was a sense for forever that suicide was a sin, that suicide was wrong, that you cannot play God and decide when your life ends. And obviously, apart from many Christian circles, that is the case today. A lot of people think, like, it's my life, I can do what I like, including end it. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that your story is sort of highlighting the difference between what we can call worldviews.
Definitely. And it's more than just this assisted suicide issue. That was one part of the story, and Kara definitely had a counterculture view of that. And her motto and what she said was, suffering is not the absence of God's goodness because he's present in pain. And that quote blew my mind, because we think, oh, I'm in pain and I'm suffering. God has left me. I'm bad, or even just, you know, whatever. But Kara embraced her suffering, which is incredibly counterculture, and said, how can I help others who are suffering, which is the ultimate sacrifice. So she chose to suffer and die in the time God had appointed for her, in her words. But the movie really is about so much more counterculture thoughts other than just that. That's definitely a part of it. But it's hope and joy, believe it or not. It's so many people, we're all going to die, you know, and no one
what?
Wants to, nobody wants to think about it.
Shame on you. I rebuke you. That's a negative confession. Seriously, we are all going to die, and I think we live in a culture now mm-hmm. that wants to avoid death.
Exactly.
Let's face it. We've never had that luxury before because mm-hmm. people died much younger. People's kids died. This was routine. Any family of, you know, several kids, they say so-and-so didn't make it past three or five or whatever. This was kind of normal, and people saw it around them all the time.
Yeah.
Something has happened in America where we have been able to, and in the West generally, where we've been able to look the other way. Somebody wrote a book about this. I can't think who it was. a number of years ago, but it was a famous book talking about the American culture of putting death into the shadows.
Right.
And suffering. Suffering and death are not acceptable anymore.
Yeah, they're not kind of Disneyland values. And so it's interesting when this beautiful, vibrant, intelligent young woman chooses to publicly live out her last days in a way that is able to put it back on the cultural map, but in a way that is, as you said, hopeful and beautiful. Most people just would never think of that.
It's very raw. I'm not going to lie to your listeners and viewers. It is extremely
raw. Oh, go ahead.
It's raw.
They're not going to know. Why? Okay, when you say it's raw, I mean, what do you mean raw?
Well, as a TV producer and a reality documentary, you know, a docu-follow guy is what I am, a producer. That's what I'm trained to do. That's what I've spent decades doing, is knowing how to get the story, knowing how to follow in someone's life and be right there. It's not faked. It's not canned.
Yeah.
It's not disingenuous. I mean, you hear from her husband, from her friends, from her kids, from Kara herself a lot.
And this is now available as of very recently on Netflix, correct? Okay.
Yes.
So it's called The Long Goodbye, The Kara Tippett's Story. We'll be right back with Jay and Sophia Lyons. Stick around.
Hardly know what to say, but maybe it's better that way.
Folks, it's Eric from Taxes Show. We're playing the hits of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. On the Eric from Taxes Show, we're also talking to these filmmakers sitting right here, Jay and Sophia Lyons. You've just released on Netflix, big deal, The Long Goodbye, The Kara Tippett Story, about, well, you call it The Long Goodbye. That's what it is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, she knew she's saying goodbye, but she didn't want to say it prematurely. She said, I'm going to let God dictate the timetable. How long was it from when you met her to when she did pass away?
Only a few months. Very short.
Yeah.
But what happened is before she passed away, we knew that we were going to make this into a documentary after a few meetings with her. And so she gave us all of her cell phone footage. She had done a few other interviews. So it's like when I was explaining before how raw and real it is, a lot of it is her own personal vlogs where she's just talking into the camera and said, I feel like, you know, doing a vlog right now. So
did you say vlog?
Vlog with a V.
A lot of people listening didn't know. A lot of the older folks didn't know that a video blog is a vlog.
Right.
A lot of people don't even know what blog stands for. Can you tell me?
No.
See? See what I mean?
I bet you know the answer, don't you?
We just use these words. Etymology be damned. Okay, folks, you mean to tell me that she gave you permission to go backwards and so to tell the full story. So
exactly.
Even though you met her just a few months before her death, you're able to go backwards and tell the whole story. So how long is the entire documentary?
An hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we say 90 minutes in the business. In show business, we call that 90. No, seriously. So when you made this, were you thinking of it as something that would be released in theaters or something that would be released on Netflix? What were you thinking? Because I don't understand the film, the documentary world or something like this. What were your models? Because since you are a producer, you had to have that in mind.
Honestly, we didn't go into it thinking this is going to be a documentary. So like I was saying before, it was really just an idea. And God opened up door after door and led us along the path. And
I like to call it a little path of breadcrumbs, one step at a time. He was like, oh, meet this lady, Kara. Mm-hmm. Why don't you have a Skype with her and her husband?
So you guys are pretty serious about your faith.
Absolutely.
You realize that's totally irrational, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Anybody who believes in reason could not possibly believe in this quote-unquote God of yours. But but since you do, I love when people are – people know that I'm joking. But I love when people are led by the Holy Spirit and they're open to God's leading in their lives. It's just a beautiful thing that, I've noticed such amazing things in my life because of that. You're saying, okay, God, I think you're leading me this way. And you're telling me that that was your process with this. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it leads you to something that you had no idea you would
Absolutely.
Be doing.
Exactly.
And so much bigger, Eric, like than this movie and film and documentary has gone so many places. And to think that Netflix and you know, they're not exactly what I would call a faith-driven Christian company.
What? Netflix?
I mean, you may not know that.
I didn't know. Jeez.
But so to end up there, but it just shows you how step-by-step obedience. And a lot of times it was me listening to my wife. I have to give complete credit because I tend to be a doubting Thomas. You know, I'm the person that's like, okay, give me a sign. Okay, God does that. Okay, give me another sign. Oh, no, I don't like that sign. Give me this sign. That's me. And I tend to explain it away. And so thankfully, I was smart enough to listen to my wife to say, call this person, go there. I've got you tickets. I was like, well, you know, it's a lot of expense to produce something. We didn't have money to go and produce this on our own whim. But that all funding then eventually came through. But not before we took a lot of those steps to go and do it. So it truly is.
We also had people tell us we were absolutely crazy, that we should not do a documentary film.
Who, like who, for example?
Well, business people that
said. Give me names.
Well, we won't give you a name, but business people that said, you're going to lose your shirt. You shouldn't do a documentary. No one makes money. Why are you doing this?
And ironically, here you are sitting wearing your shirts. So you made a monkey out of those naysayers, didn't you? Well, it is amazing to me that, you know, that as a Christian, that qualifies as worldly wisdom. There are always people who are going to tell you why you can't do something. They're like, you know, Job's friends. And what they say, because it's worldly wisdom, there's a kind of wisdom to it, but it lacks God in the equation. And the both of you have tried to live out your careers and your lives as followers of Jesus. And a lot of people, they don't really get that. They don't know how to do that. And it can look crazy. And let's be honest, there are people that we know who do it in such a way, and you would say, yeah, you are crazy. You're not. That's not God. That's that's your head. That's your own thing. So it's a hard thing when you're playing with your own money, with other people's money.
Exactly.
It is a faith walk.
It's a risky business following the Holy Spirit.
And absolutely.
And also, I was praying for Christian opportunities. So I had been producing, and I've worked on some hit television shows, and I was praying, you know, I like this. I worked with some great people. I told some great stories. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. So I don't want to give the wrong impression, but I was also praying, like, I want to do something more kingdom-minded, like eternal value.
Something redemptive.
Exactly.
And beautiful.
I wanted to do that, and then this story came along, and like I said, I was like, oh, I just kind of pushed it aside. Well, that's, it didn't click for me, but thankfully, you know, through many times of God just bringing things in my wife, and I listened. So
this is why God gives us a helpmeet to tell us you're wrong. it is kind of funny though, because that is, you know, people always, when we talk about marriage, that's the beautiful thing about any kind of Christian community and friends, is that sometimes they have a different perspective. And that perspective helps us to see God's hand. I mean, I personally am so thrilled that you did make this.
Thank you.
We're going to be back another segment to talk about The Long Goodbye, the Kara Tippett's story. It's just out on Netflix. Check it out. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Only you, and you can hear me when I say sorry.
It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about death, but we're talking about it in a way that makes it so beautiful and, oddly enough, so positive. The title of the documentary is The Long Goodbye, the Kara Tippett story. The filmmakers, Jay and Sophia Lyons, are with me right here. I love the idea that you're saying that this is – it's on Netflix, and it's trending. It's hot. People from every perspective – you don't need to be a Christian to know that death is scary, and I want hope, if there is hope. But you're seeing that.
We're seeing so many people message us on our film's Facebook page, even the comments. Oh, I'm not a believer, but I just watched this and I cried my eyes out. Thank you so much for showing what it really looks like. My own sister, my own aunt, my own cousin, my best friend just passed away from cancer, and they wouldn't even let us in their house. So this, in some way, has brought healing to people who were shut out of their loved ones' lives while they were suffering. They weren't invited to that. So in some way, Kara could not have seen this. She invited people in to watch her suffering in a safe way, in a safe place that's bringing healing. And then other women who are in the middle of their own battles, not necessarily just cancer, but any illness, that are watching Kara, she kind of gives an example of what it looks like to suffer well, if that makes sense.
That was her goal, to die well.
Yeah.
Well, it's so interesting because, again, we don't talk about that in the culture. Earlier I was referencing a book. Somebody told me that the book I was referencing is by Ernest Becker, The Denial of Death. That was like a blockbuster 30 or 40 years ago or more. But it is interesting that if you say you're a Christian, and there are tons of people that say, well, I'm a Christian, maybe I'm not an evangelical Christian or whatever, I'm Catholic, but I don't go to church that often. But I always say to those people, let me tell you what you believe. If you say you're some kind of Christian, you're not an atheist, you're not, okay, let me tell you what you believe. You believe God loves you. You believe when you die, you don't die.
Right.
You live forever because you've invited Jesus into your heart, and we ought to be celebrating death. You received home. That's not a metaphor. It's a greater reality than if you actually went to your physical home. It is it is heaven, and you know, we've sort of turned it into this vague, cloud-filled metaphor, which is meaningless. And when you see somebody die in a way as though they know this is true, it gives you faith to say, wait a second, what am I afraid of?
I think you and I have similar backgrounds, religiously and ethnically.
Yeah. Well, you and I are both from Queens, New York.
Yes, we are.
We're from Queens, New York, and you're Italian and I'm Greek, which is
we're close.
But it's interesting, right? Like the people that we know, when they talk about death, they're kind of like, oh, death.
Oh,
like, so
Aunt
sad.
Mary joined. And for a whole 5 years, we're never going to say her name.
Right.
I mean, there's just so many stigmas with death. Like,
she
we
had
don't.
Bad experiences.
I had horrible experiences growing up. So it's so funny that God chose me and my husband to do a documentary in the same room with the woman who is dying. It was absolutely riveting.
I want to point out, though, I completely agree with what you're saying, but it's not that we want to celebrate death or even think about it all the time. But as a Christian, a person of faith, doesn't mean we're afraid of it.
Right.
And we can help people, and that's what Kara did. We can help people understand it and not be afraid of it. And so it doesn't mean we don't want to live, of course. And we don't go around, you know, we're upbeat, joyful people.
Right.
So we're not, you know, morose and somber as Christians. But that's what Kara did, and that's what this movie, honestly, so many people say, thank you for helping me understand it. And like my wife, she was terrified and still is, has struggles with that, terrified of death.
Sure.
As a lot of people are. It's nothing wrong with that.
Whereas I say, bring it on. No, it's kind of funny. If you're not, you know, at least, you know, I misspoke when I said celebrate death. What I really mean is that we understand, just like birth, it's something that happens to all of us.
Right.
And God tells us not to be afraid. Now, why would God, who knows everything, tell us not to be afraid? And why do so many people say that, you know, people who have visited the other side and come back say, oh, my goodness, I didn't want to come back. With somebody. I mean,
The
sadness is for those of us who remain behind because you miss somebody. And it is sad and beautiful. But it's interesting to me. I mean, Bonhoeffer, who died well, he said that death...
Amazing book, by the way. I know this is just not about that, but that book
is amazing.
Oh, it's
about that.
It's amazing.
No, he said in one of his poems, he said, death is the final station on the road to freedom. Mm-hmm. And you think, that's beautiful. And again, it doesn't mean you can take your life and you can hasten it. But if you go with God, it is meant to be a beautiful thing. And I think we need to see that and say that over and over and over, because the culture has thrown that in the garbage.
Well, it's
they
about trusting God, which sounds crazy in our culture.
Yeah.
Trusting God, really? Yeah. How can I trust God?
Yeah.
How can I trust a God who just let a woman who's 38 leave four children behind?
Right.
And
she
that's a valid question.
She did everything right.
Right.
She's a pastor's wife.
Or Bonhoeffer. How did God allow him to do that? that.
Right.
The cool thing about this Netflix is like we were saying, is so many people are being introduced to Kara now and her story who would never hear her. And that was a surprise to us, honestly. We never, like I said, we never sat in a room with executives and said, let's make this documentary. And we never said, now we're going to take it to Netflix. Mm-hmm. It just happened.
It's kind of like a patchwork quilt. That's how I like to describe it. You have her vlogs or videos that she self-shot. Obviously, she had the vision to want to share her legacy and her journey and her suffering, the whole thing. She wanted to share that already. So her blogs, her writing, her books, her speaking appearances, her vlogs, and what we went and shot with her in San Diego, Colorado Springs, for just a few short months, all put together like a beautiful patchwork quilt, including Joanna Gaines. So we have interviews with her, Ann Voskamp, and Johnny Erickson Tada. All three of those ladies had a personal connection with Kara. So it all just came together so beautifully.
Yeah.
Well, it is so beautiful, and it does give hope to a lot of people. I think, you know, one of the reasons that I love that you've done this is because it's also on my heart, in my life, to be able to do the kind of thing that reaches beyond the Christian ghetto, because everybody is facing these questions about who is God, what is death, what is life, can I have real hope, or is it just something manufactured to make me feel good? And, you know, the fact that you put this beautiful, courageous human being's last months of life on the screen for people, I mean, it is the kind of thing we need more of, and there's not a ton of that kind of stuff in places like Netflix, so I'm personally thrilled that they were able to do this. Jay and Sophia Lyons, I want to say again, congratulations to you for making
Thank you.
And folks, it is The Long Goodbye, the Kara Tippett's story, now available on Netflix. Check it out.
And I will sing a lullaby. Once there was a way to get back. Of angel hair, ice cream castles in the air.
Hey there, folks. I love Glen Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy. Yeah. Hey, okay. We were talking
Wichita lineman.
Earlier today. Yes, we were talking earlier today about two things. We were talking about these horrific shootings, just satanic evil, spirit of Antichrist, if you ask me. And I thought, you know what? Sometimes the best thing to do when something particularly evil happens is just to do something good. And I know that there are a lot of people out there thinking, well, what can I do? Well, I don't know that there's anything we can do with regard to these shootings specifically, but I'm saying just spiritually do something good. So we're doing a campaign with Food for the Poor. We've done many campaigns with Food for the Poor earlier in this in the 4 years of this program. We believe in this organization, and they're doing good where there's great suffering. And so I want to invite people, you know, we all have to do good somehow. We all have to give to organizations or to things or to causes we believe in. It's the healthy, normal thing to do. And a lot of times people say, well, I'm not sure where to give or whatever. Well, we vet these different programs, and we want to give you an opportunity to do something. I really do believe that when we do good, it is spiritual warfare against evil in the world. So there are people suffering in Central America right now. I don't need to tell you that, you know, places like Venezuela, folks in Colombia, they are literally going without food, right?
Yeah.
We have displaced children. We've got a horrible crisis going on down there right now. Wherever you stand on the immigration issue, surely you believe that the right thing to do is to reach out to these people as we are able, right? So Food for the Poor is doing that. And actually, we have a clip on the crisis in Central America. The executive director of Food for the Poor talks about what happens if you give. Why don't we play that clip? This is Angel Angel Aloma.
For those of us like myself who have nine beautiful grandchildren, that every one of those little children who are starving have grandparents who think they're the most beautiful children and the most intelligent children in the world. And the pain and suffering, not just of the death of those children, but of parents and grandparents who will mourn them for their entire life afterwards. And that memory will haunt them for life. We have to do something about this. this situation. We have to do it, not tomorrow, not 2 days later, because life will get in the way and we'll forget. We have to do it now.
Okay, folks, you can do it right now. You go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner. Anything you give will get you. We're doing a drawing for a grand prize. Actually, before I tell you about that, let me repeat that. Anybody who gives $200, now $200 provides 5,000 meals.
Wow.
Okay, this is food for the poor. We'll explain that another time. But anybody who gives $200 gets a signed copy of my brand new book, Donald Builds the Wall. It's funny.
Yeah.
Believe me, folks, it's funny. And the illustrations by our friend Tim Raglan are just the whole thing is very funny. And it's all about freedom. But $200 gets a signed copy. $500 gives you a studio visit. If you ever come to New York, you get a studio visit. Anybody, you can give $10,000 to Food for the Poor for this campaign. You can come to dinner with us. Have a wonderful time. Bring as many people as you want. And we'll have dinner either in your city when I'm there or in New York if you're here. And then there's a grand prize. The grand prize is you get 3 signed copies of Donald Builds the Wall, 3 copies of Donald Drains the Swamp. You get a signed copy of Miracles, a signed copy of my book, If You Can Keep It, a signed copy of my book, Bonhoeffer, a signed copy of my book, Martin Luther, a signed copy of my books, Amazing Grace, 7 Men, 7 Women. All of that is the grand prize. For every $50 you give, you get another opportunity to win. But for anything you give, if you give $10, you get it. Okay, folks, go to MetaxasTalk.com. Do something today, please. Thank you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.